the seed of grace will not share the same ground as you trying to earn it.
God's perfect plan for you is that you have all your needs met. Today, Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearsons teach you how to live free from a life of constant struggle. Next, right here on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, Monday's edition. And let's have a word of prayer. We get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Oh, we thank you. We open our hearts to receive. We receive it. We take it. We believe it. We have it. And we thank you for it. And we give you praise and honor today on this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you join me again today in welcoming Jerry? I did it again. Hey, you know what? You're Jerry Pearson.
Just call
okay.
Me Jerry.
Jeremy Pearson, praise God. Amen. I'm so used to saying Jerry Savelle, and maybe I ought to start calling Jeremy Savelle.
I tell you what, any one of us would let you call us anything you want.
You know,
it's fine with
I
us.
I got so tickled. Brother Shambach was teaching on receiving, and he said, people say, you know, I know the Bible says that, but I don't know whether that really means me or not. And he said, you know, they run those things in the newspaper where there's people's names, where there's money laying up for them someplace and they don't know about it and all that. He said, there's the same person will say, there's never anything in there for me. Even though the guy's name in there, he'll say, well, that's probably another Shambach. He said, no. He said, I look for Shambach, Shamboozle, Shambazy, Sham anything. He said, I'll claim it, brother. And I said, so maybe you need to just Jeremy, and JoJo, whatever it takes. Praise God.
Don't call me Sue.
Jeremy, I appreciate you coming on the broadcast.
It's a
man.
Pleasure.
One of the things that is always has been a real priority for me, but even more as years go by, is my interest in people your age and younger. They've been patronized and just really cut off. You hear strong Christian people say, I just don't know what these young people are coming to. Well, they're coming to God. That's what they're coming to. And for the experience that you have had that I didn't have, because you started ministering when you were just a little boy, and you started preaching to people your own age. So you came up through all that time learning about ministering to people your age and younger.
Sure.
And so forth. So you bring that into this broadcast, and it's extremely important to me. And I want to thank you for
yes,
being
sir.
Here, and I want to just thank you for being who you are,
yes,
bud.
Yes, sir.
You've been an inspiration to me all your life, and I appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you.
We're talking about the reality of redemption. And closed last week by taking communion. What a thing that was.
That was powerful.
It was.
If there's somebody that didn't see that, I believe they need to go back and watch that.
I do too.
And that's easy to get a hold of. I mean, kcm.org, it's all free to you. But I do. I think you need to get a hold of that because that was powerful here doing that. And I know, it's like you said, you can do it every day. You can do it 15 times a day.
You know, one of the things that people have never really caught on to is taking communion when you tithe. Because the time of your tithing is the anointing connection. That's when you receive the anointings God has for your life. And when you take communion, it is an anointing connection. Mm-hmm. And you put those two together and take time to tithe your tithe, mm-hmm. because tithing is done with the mouth of faith. It's not just putting something in the bucket or putting 10% of your income or whatever in an offering container. That's part of it, but that's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. The tithing is done according to Deuteronomy 26 with confession of faith of the mouth and so forth. Mm-hmm. And when you receive communion and commit yourself to the Lord Jesus, He's the Lord of the tithe, and what He's called you to do and the anointing to do it, brother, yeah. It's all right there in one spot. And I thought about that yesterday, and it really blessed me, really helped me yesterday.
Well, it's something that you can do, that you can literally set your eyes on. Mm-hmm. And people need that. We need that. I mean, when we grow up in the Word and we set our attention on the Word begins to paint a picture on the inside. But whatever the Lord is doing inside you, He's doing it so that it comes to the outside. It's in you that it might come out of you. Abundant life is in you that it might come out of you. Healing is in you that it might come out of you.
It doesn't start from the outside in. It's always from the inside out.
And that's what the Spirit of God said in Romans chapter 12. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformed means to take something that's on the outside and put it on you. And when he said that, you study this in the original language, and what he said was, something's taking place on the inside of you. Don't go putting something on you that doesn't match that.
Wow, that's strong.
But being transformed means let what's in you become what's on the outside. And he said the same thing in Ephesians. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we take communion and we go before the communion table, what we're doing is we are taking part outwardly in what we know has taken place on the inside. And it's just another way to root yourself in these things and ground yourself in it. And it gives you something tangibly to look at, to put your hands on, and to put in you. And it's powerful. If you'll do it according to the Word, it'll change you.
I've noticed this. You know, I was raised in church. I was raised in Southern Baptist Church. And there was a regular set time to take communion, mm-hmm. and that's good and wonderful. Should do that. But I've learned receiving communion in our family. When we have a family get together, we always receive communion together, and Gloria and I receive communion together. And when you exercise these things in the Word, in your own personal life, there are things to learn that you won't learn in a congregation. There are things, particularly if you've got a pastor like your dad, mm-hmm. that in pastoring EMIC, that is so, I tell you, when my pastor serves communion, I mean, I learn more from him in that he's just a wealth of knowledge and revelation when it comes to communion time. But there are things that I learned doing it personally that I never learned in a congregation. You need both.
Yeah.
So, boy, it is a time of power. When it's sickness, disease, symptoms, immediately run to that communion table. I mean, get the blood and the body right in its place and take the whatever it is, and get the blood and the body of Jesus between you and it. Mm-hmm. Whoa, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, it's a picture.
It is.
And what it's a picture of.
Well, he said you do this in remembrance.
In remembrance.
You can't remember something without a picture of it.
Yeah.
And when I first began to learn this, I said, Lord, what do you mean remembrance of you? What am I supposed to remember about you? I mean, I remember he was on the cross, and I remember him and so forth. There had been a little girl, just a child, 8 or 9 years old or so. When they brought her in, it was in one of Brother Robert's tent meetings, and they brought her in the invalid room where I ministered with him in there. And she was in a wheelchair, but they had used a big plank, a board. They had lashed that board to that chair, where it just like this, and the seat was here, and the back was here, and it had a slant to it like that, of course. And they tied that board to that chair. And then they strapped her to the board. She was totally, completely paralyzed, and the only thing she could move was her eyes, like that. Brother Roberts had been preaching that night, get up on the inside, do something you couldn't do before. Well, she couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And she heard that message in that invalid room there. They had speakers in there, and it was my job after the message was over, between the time that he got through preaching out front, gave the invitation, then he would make it in there. It'd be 5, 6, 7, maybe sometimes 10 minutes before he was there. It was my job to go back over the message he preached. Right. So I went back over that, and I noticed her when he was saying, if you can't move anything but a little finger, start moving. She started rolling her eyes. She's just doing this. She was right there in front of us. And when we walked over there to her and we laid hands on her, she just started rolling her eyes. I mean, that's all she had, you know. She's rolling those eyes and rolling those eyes. And all of a sudden, she said, cut me loose, cut me loose, undo me, undo me. I'm healed, I'm healed. And took those straps loose, and off that board she bounced. And her mama was chasing her all the way around the tent. Mama said, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. And here they went, you know, and all of this. And the picture of that came back in my mind. The Lord said, in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. It marked my life, man. You receive communion and you start thinking about all those things. There was even times you were in such a mess, he delivered you and you didn't even know you got delivered from something because it never even happened to you.
Yeah.
You're still alive. You're still on the top side. Amen.
Yeah. You remember when, I guess it's David, the psalmist in Psalm 37. This is one we quote all the time, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But that's verse 4. Verse 3, though, leading into that, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and this is what I like, and feed on his faithfulness.
Yeah.
It goes right from that into delight yourself in the Lord. And that phrase, feed on his faithfulness, that is actually what you're doing when you take communion. You are quite physically and naturally feeding on the faithfulness of God, and it stirs up something on the inside.
Mm.
When you say you're hungry for something, if you're hungry naturally for food or hungry for whatever, what does that mean? It represents a need. There's an emptiness that wants to be filled. And naturally, we think the only thing that's going to fill me is if I get what it is that I don't already have. But David said that we could feed on his faithfulness or feed on what he's already done. You know what that says to me? It says I can get just as full and just as satisfied if I will just sit and feed on how good he's been, mm-hmm. on how faithful he's been. Mm-hmm. He's helped me over and over. He's healed me. He's saved me. And I can get up literally from the table having fed on his faithfulness just as satisfied as I would if I'd had that need met. Or
he is faithful and he is just
or righteous.
For him to turn you down, he'd have to be unrighteous to do it.
But you got
to
feed on that.
To do it. But you have to feed
you
on
do.
It and think about it. Now, right on the other hand, on the flip side of that, we talked about this some last week. Psalms 127, it is vain to rise up early, stay up late, feeding on the bread of sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's worry. Now, the word translated sorrow is, its first translation is toiling.
Mm.
Working for everything, toiling for everything you get, and you toil and you toil and you toil and you ain't got enough. Well, you've worked all you can work, you nearly worked yourself literally to death, and you still ain't got enough.
Yeah.
That's what toil does, and you're just lying there in the bed. You get up early and sit up late. Oh, me, oh, my, and you're feeding. All you're seeing in your mind is all that work, and it didn't do anything. Well, the Scripture says that's vain, or in other words, it's worthless. It doesn't produce anything. For he gives his beloved sleep. Mm-hmm. Well, when you receive that and you start thinking about Jesus, and man, toil is not the name of my life. Grace is the name of my life. That's who I am. I'm redeemed. I am the redeemed. They said, let the redeemed say so. I say so.
Yeah.
I am redeemed. I mean, he meets and supplies my needs according to his riches and glory, not according to what I can earn and toil to get. Peter said, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing.
Yeah.
Well, where's your faith, old boy? And Jesus said, throw your net right over there.
Yeah.
And wham, at an impossible time.
Yeah.
But there's not a fish in the sea that'll turn Jesus down, brother.
Yeah.
When he says, come here, they all come running. So toil scared them away. But the grace of Jesus, well, now all of that is what you need to be remembering and feeding on.
Mm-hmm.
Feeding on. Feed your faith with it. Feed your mind. Your mind's where the pressure comes.
Sure.
You feed your mind. Bathe your mind, rest your mind thinking on those thoughts.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about it, you start doing it, next thing you know, you're sound asleep and your night's full of peace and rest.
That inward rest, what's in you, he put that rest in there so that it would
come
out.
Gloria said to me one day, she said, did you ever realize that man is the only thing God created that isn't clothed from the inside out? Hmm. All the animals, their clothes come from the inside. It grows out on them. And I thought, that's strange. Why does man have to put his covering on? Hmm. And I went back then to the Word, and it was just almost instant revelation. He was clothed from the inside out by the glory of God. He couldn't see his body. His wife they couldn't see one another's body. They were not naked. Mm. The glory was so powerful around them that if they'd had clothes on, you couldn't have seen them.
Sure.
The glory of God was their clothing, and it came from the inside out. But when they separated from God, the light went out, and he turned around and said, ooh, where your clothes in? Put your clothes on, woman. Yeah. Then God had to teach him how to have clothes. He made a suit out of fig leaves. Don't you know that's the dumbest looking thing you ever saw? But that's man trying to meet his own needs without God. He can't do it, and he's gone 6,000 years, and he still can't do it.
Yeah.
But God said, oh, boy, come here.
Yeah.
That dumb looking fig leaf suit, that ain't going to do anything for you. He entered into covenant with him right then, and the first animal was slain, and he made clothes for him, and that's just the grace of God.
It is.
Amen.
Even then. And I'm not sure we've really taken that seriously enough. The first thing that showed up as a result of what Adam did, when the Scripture says in Genesis 3, because you've listened, God said to him, because you've listened, the voice of your wife, and you've done this, and you've preached it, and I've heard others preach it. He said, because of this, you will toil, and the earth will bring forth thorns and thistles. In other words, this is what the earth is going to do. You don't have to try to make it bring forth thorns. It will. That's what's going to happen. And spent some time, last time I was on this broadcast, talking about this out of Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. Jesus, first parable he ever told, he said, behold, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Look, a sower went out to sow. And he talked about the different kinds of ground that it got sown on. And without taking time to really get into all of it, but he did say the sower sows the word. Now, the word got sown four times, by the wayside, on stony ground, thorny ground, and on good ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to stop after those first three times that it got sown, and seeing no harvest, no fruit, nothing, you might think something's wrong with this seed. But the moment that seed reproduced, you know right then and there, nothing wrong with this seed. It's capable of reproducing. So then you have to go back and look at those grounds. Now, the parables, or the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, what's with the parable? Why are you talking like this? And he said, look, if you don't get this one, how are you going to understand any of them? So there's a key here. The startling thing to me about that is that everything we know about the Word of God and what it's capable of, its ability to save, heal, deliver, set free, the life of God Himself that is in His Word, He has breathed His life into it. And when I think that that Word got sown three times and it didn't produce, that's startling to me, and I want to find out why. And Jesus said why. And He went through and He named the different reasons. But that last one He said before it got to good ground, He said the Word got sown among thorns. It wasn't necessarily that thorns were just sitting up there on top of the ground. Everybody knows don't sow there. It says the thorns sprang up.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
underneath that earth was thorns. What did God say to Adam? This is what the earth is going to do. It's just going to do this naturally. It's the way it's going to do things. It will reproduce this. And Jesus said, here are the thorns, the cares of this world. How would we say that? What am I going to do? 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 That's the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. What is that? How am I going to make a living? If I just had enough money, if I had enough money, I'd be happy.
The power is in the money.
Yeah.
That's where the deceit from.
Deceived by it. And me trying to get it. And then He said lust for other things. And He called those things thorns. And the Lord spoke this to me and He said, every single one of those things, the thorns are man trying to make his own way. And I cannot, the Word cannot reproduce in that. It will not reproduce in that. The seed of grace will not share the same ground as you trying to earn it.
In that we read last week from Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, and God said, I saw you out there, you're a little baby dying in your own blood when I found you. You'd been thrown away. Nobody even cared that you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And He said, I bedecked you with riches and wealth and goodness and kindness. I took you in. You grew up and I married you.
Mm-hmm.
You're my wife. But you decided you didn't need me. So that's the picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to meet your own needs without God. And all that God had given them turned sour.
Mm.
Because their wealth without God is a killer.
Yeah.
Wealth, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He adds no sorrow, same word.
Mm-hmm.
He adds no toiling and hurt and sorrow mm-hmm. with it. Amen.
Amen.
And wealth from God is a wonderful thing.
Sure.
Wealth that you gather up for yourself will kill you.
Yes, it will.
We're out of time. And we're going to have to fix this clock. And Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
When you don't know who you really are, and you are not aware that no matter what you've done, you are somebody, life can be a nightmare. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you so that you may enjoy God's promises of health, peace, and prosperity. Jesus paid the price for you so that you could accomplish the goals God has planted in your heart. To make the truth of a prosperous life your reality, you must receive your inheritance. In Kenneth Copeland's 4-CD series, Receive Your Inheritance, Kenneth reveals you are entitled to God's promises. Health, peace, and prosperity are your right. God has an awesome plan for life. The key to it all is that you have to accept God to enjoy the benefits of His inheritance. Kenneth Copeland's Receive Your Inheritance shows you how. Free with purchase, receive the resting side of life. Jeremy Pearson's dynamic teaching on God's grace on DVD and CD. Order Kenneth Copeland's CD set, Receive Your Inheritance, today for just $20. As an added bonus, we'll send you Jeremy Pearson's teaching on DVD and CD called The Resting Side of Life. These are two great resources that reveal God's promises and lead you into His rest. For an additional product discount and faster processing, purchase your copies online. For these and other ministry products, go to kcm.org.
Before we leave the air today, let me remind you of receive your inheritance. You are entitled to God's promises. Amen. This is in depth what we're talking about on this broadcast in our redemption, because the word just simply says in the book of Colossians, give God thanks because He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and planted us into the kingdom of His Son. Other translations say of the Son of His love. He did it because He loves you. He's taken, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then He translated you. He took you out of the kingdom of darkness, put you in the kingdom of God and under His authority. So that means all of His promises belong to you. They're an entitlement to you. You are entitled to them, not because of what you did, because of what He did. But He gives you credit for what He did,
yeah,
as if you did it. And then Jeremy's message on the resting side of life. This is vitally important. Praise God. So get hold of these and use them. Take the time and go over them and over them and over them. You need to be doing this all the time with these subjects and others. It's important. 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 You listening to me? Important. Praise God. Now then, go to kcm.org. It's there for you. Amen. Personal study. All of the people that are there 24 hours a day to pray with you and pray for you and to stand with you. Go back over the broadcast and so forth. Praise God. Now, it's a powerful thing. But let me tell you something. You're not going to make it in these last days without having a source of the Word coming at you all the time. Praise God. Amen. Bless the Lord in all that you do. And in all that you do, bless the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher welcome you to the Behind the Mission Weekend, April 8th and 9th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.